Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here after 1 year interval. I'll speak today about some work in progress, which is joint with Takashi Kumagai. Which is about possible estimates of heat kernels of homogeneous type. So that's reflected in the title by referring to fractal-like spaces, but maybe, in fact, the spaces in questions will be general, which I will start with setting now. But heat kernel estimates will be rather of fractal-like type. So the setting will be very general. So we'll look at metric space, say locally compact. And measure mu on this space. So it's going to be metric measure space, A. Radon measure with full support. So this is standard setting for introducing a Dirichlet form in order to introduce some Markov process on this space, or rather Hund process. So assume that EF, the couple, is a Dirichlet form, where E is the form itself and F is the domain, which is in L2. Right, and XT associated Hund process, right, which can be, say, I will be interested in also distinguishes whether it's diffusion or jump process or whatever. Right. In general, there is no uniqueness in that, but I assume for simplicity that we fix one of possible processes like that and assume that also is defined from every point. So all these technical difficulties which arise in general theory of Dirichlet forms, I would like just to neglect them. Moreover, I assume that this process has nice transition density, which is the same as the heat kernel, PTXY. Is the transition density. And which means that the probability when starting from point X that XT in some Borel set A is given by this interval, d mu y, right? For all x, for all t's from their domains and Borel sets A. So this is initial setting. And things which I would like to consider are estimates of the heat kernel of the following type. Consider estimate, which may be true or not, is just a desirable outcome of some argument, right? So we would like to estimate it through functions of the following type. Time to some power alpha over beta times some function of distance xy divided by t to some 1 over beta. So where some notation needs explanation, of course. This sign I will use repeatedly means both upper and lower bound are available, but constants C capital and C small, which are here, are positive constants, which may be different for upper and lower bound, right? With possibly different constants. So it's all up to constant multiples, which are allowed in two places, here and here. Also, alpha, beta are some positive parameters, which I'll tell more about later on. And phi is a function, say, is in a decreasing positive function on 0 plus infinity. So, this estimate, of course, tells you that heat kernel is rather homogeneous in space. It depends roughly only on the distance between x and y, right? Which happens frequently in various interesting examples. And also, there is certain scaling between space and time, which is given by parameter beta here, right? Which also certain homogeneity, or in this case already of the space-time. Right. So why this form? Because first of all, this form occurs in many interesting examples. So I will make reference to that as star. I'll be referring to this.
Quick question about the very introduction. Are you gonna explain what a Dirichlet form is, or since probably not everyone?
Yeah, basically it might be not so important here. That's just standard beginning of the theory of processes in abstract spaces. Basically, perhaps might be more convenient here just to say there is some process. And this is a transition density. And a Dirichlet form can be defined through this process. In fact, this will be needed later in this talk, so I can write it here. So first one can introduce ET UV, quadratic function of two functions, which is given by 1 over 2t or 1 over t. I will get 1 over 2t integral m ux minus uy dx minus vy pt x, y, d mu x, d mu y, right? This one can show it's finite for all uv in L2. So it's a quadratic form on L2, which depend on T as on parameter, assuming that you are given heat kernel. And of course, its transition density cannot be arbitrary function. It must satisfy certain properties like semigroup property and so on. But under those conditions, one can consider this. And then one can show when T goes down to zero, this actually increases of UU, right? Increases and has either infinite limit or finite limit therefore, right? One can define energy form of UU, E of UU being limit of ET UU when T goes to zero, and define domain as those U from L2 where it is finite. Right, that might be alternative approach to say what is Dirichlet form. But classical definition, this is quadratic form defined on some domain F in L2, which is dense in L2. And it satisfies, in addition, so-called Markov property, that if you cut function from above and below by constant, then the value of this energy reduces. Basically, it refers to, from the point of view of differential operators, say, it's like integral of grad F squared, right? It's classical Dirichlet form. It's generalization of that, abstraction of that. Right, but it's good that you ask the question. I'll make some preparation for what we'll need later. So, some examples where such an estimate occur. First is, of course, very classical situation that consider in Rn just classical Brownian motion generated by Laplace operator. Right. So generator of Brownian motion is actually generator of this energy form. So, well, I think in this case I don't have to explain what is Brownian motion and why it's generated by Laplace operator. So I'll just remind that the heat kernel here is just the Gaussian distribution for pi t to n over 2 exponential minus mod x minus 1 squared over 4t, right? And obviously it has exactly this form with alpha equals to n, beta equals to 2, and function phi is exponential minus s squared over 4.
Right. Probably there is no factor 4 in the...
Yeah, factor 4 because it's generated by Laplace.
In very exponential, no factor 4.
Ah, yeah, that's true. But in fact, I can actually remove all this factor and say it all they are in constant, right? In fact, yeah. If I write 4 here, of course, one would expect also 4 in another place. Might be, without confusion, would be right at this one. Second example comes from jump processes. If we consider the process generated by square root of Laplacian, well, assume just for simplicity of notation that we consider positive definite Laplacian also in Rn, then it's one gets a jump process, which is sometimes called also Cauchy process, and for which the heat kernel is known exactly. It's some constant T to n. Yeah. 1 plus mod x minus y squared over t squared to n plus 1 over 2. So obviously we get same form with alpha again n, beta in this case 1, n over 1. Function phi is 1 plus s squared to n plus 1 over 2. And for future, let me just write this, not exactly, but in terms of estimate, it's a function of this type, 1 plus s to power n plus 1. We will see in general that functions of this type occur generically. More examples. If we consider now Laplace to power beta over 2, where beta is between 0 and 2, then it also generates the process. It's a so-called symmetric stable process of index beta. Then, although the explicit formula does not exist, but still it admits the estimate of very similar form. Constants divided by t to n over beta times 1 plus mod x minus y over t to n plus beta. Right? And this can be proved, for example, starting with Gaussian estimate and applying subordination techniques with using estimates of subordinates. Right, so it's really just estimate of some integral. So again, we have alpha equals to n. Beta is exactly beta. I write it tautology here. And phi is again of this form, right, n plus beta. Of course, and when beta is 1, we get, at this particular case, the Cauchy process. Now, actual fractal spaces. Fractal spaces. Um, So I don't go much into definitions, just mention, for example, Sierpinski gasket, which is obtained by this classical procedure by taking, say, equilateral triangle and start removing, say, this middle triangle, and then from each of the remaining one, removing each of the also middle triangle, and so on, right? After doing infinitely many times, you end up with some compact, which then can be turned into a metric space by adding distance function just from extrinsic distance from Euclidean space, from R2, and taking measure to be, say, Hausdorff measure of proper dimension. And then this is compact, while in fact one can make it non-compact by considering also expansion procedure similar to this one, right? In any case, one obtains, and then one can actually construct a process on that, which is non-trivial thing, by using certain approximations of this obvious approximation by graphs, and then considering process on the graph, and then taking scale and limit. So one, this is a big theory now around that, which is was developed by, say, Martin Barlow, Jun Kigami, by Kusuoka, and many other people. And there are results, for example, about spaces like that. The Heath kernel for such a process exists and satisfies the estimate of the following type, also having some parameters alpha, beta, but function. So the process which one constructs is diffusion. Diffusion process, and its behavior of the tail is similar to Gaussian one, but with different powers. Distance between x, y, to beta divided by t to power 1 over beta minus 1. In where turns out that alpha is actually Hausdorff dimension of this fractal, of the space in question, and beta is some other parameter which happens to be larger than 2, which is called the Wolf dimension, which characterizes a scaling between distance and time, right? So due to the presence of large number of obstacles, the behavior of this process is different from the Gaussian one. So this parameter, the scaling between distance and time, becomes different with power larger than 2. Typically, there are some irrational numbers, for example, on Sierpinski gasket. Alpha is log 3 over log 2. And beta is log 5 over log 2 in this particular case. But in general, of course, it might be different. So there is a big family of examples where heap kernels admit estimates like that. But of course, this perfectly fits into this star with phi being exponential of minus s to beta over beta minus 1. If we take out beta from here, we get exactly the form as well. Yeah, also, this type of estimates can be considered as generalization of Gaussian estimates. Of course, when beta equals to 2, this leads to the Gaussian estimate. For me, it's convincing bunch of examples that considering estimate of this type makes sense. So what question one can ask about that? So the question is as follows. What else can happen? say what can be this phi equal to. Do they exist the spaces where function phi is somewhat different, maybe something between polynomial and exponential? So of course you see in all examples this decaying as power function. Phi decays, where is it? Yeah, over there. Virtually with arbitrary power, right there. Or this exponential function also with practically s with some also variable power. So natural question whether something else can exist, right? Well, the answer turns out that nothing else actually occurs. These are basically two possibilities which exhaust all what is possible under additional mild assumption about the space and the process. So I'll state these assumptions, which are quite simple. So additional. Maybe I put this assumption here on this part of the board to keep. First assumption is additional assumption that we assume that the process Xt is stochastically complete. In particular, in terms of heat kernel, this means that if we integrate the heat kernel in space, we get constant 1 for all t's and x.
Random walk on a group fits in your schema or not?
Well, random walk, first of all, it is, well, it depends, it's discrete time, right? If you consider diffusion, say, on abelian groups, then they do fit, right? Or on nilpotent groups, say, put like that. On diffusions on nilpotent groups, they actually satisfy the Gaussian estimate. That means this estimate was beta equal to 2, right? And alpha is the exponent of volume growth on them, right? That's the maximum which one can do on groups, because if you consider groups of volume growth higher than polynomial, then you won't get polynomial decay in time here. This will be already a different story. So it's really polynomial realm, right? So volume growth everywhere is polynomial. But as soon as a group has polynomial volume growth, it's fits. But it becomes trivial because it's exactly a Gaussian situation and there is no flexibility here. And second is a certain property of the metric space alone, which is I called a chain condition. Which tells the following. There exists constant C, large one, such that for all x, y on M, there exists sequence of points x1, which is x0, which is x, x1, and so on, x sum capital M equals to y. For all natural numbers n, they should be at first, right? There exists sequence of points connecting x and y in the sense that distance between any couple of consecutive points is bounded by c times dxy divided by n. So roughly speaking, with any two points, we would like to put in inside. Basically, we would like to split the interval between x, y into n almost equal parts. There is no notion of interval, although, so it's put in this form. So we get sequence xn minus 1, this is xn, so that any distance between consecutive pairs is of the order dxy divided by n, at least from above. Right? If constant c is exactly 1, then of course there will be equality here, just triangle inequality does not allow them to be strict inequality, and we'll get exactly splitting the kind of interval between x and y into n equal pieces. So this particular case occurs on so-called geodesic spaces, or spaces with midpoint condition. But here it's a bit more flexibility is allowed. Of course, metric can be very weird, so there is no such divisibility. For example, if it's just a trivial metric when distance between any two points is 1, a different point, then it's, of course, it's not satisfied. But it's somewhat more interesting than trivial metric. So the statement is now theorem 1, actually the only theorem here in this talk is
if it is satisfied for Sierpinski gasket?
Yeah, it is, right. With some non-trivial C. C is not 1, of course, because obviously you cannot get by straight line from point to point. You have to go along some edges, but it is satisfied. If 1, did I number them? Yeah, 1 and 2 are satisfied. And seed kernel satisfies this estimate star, which is over there, right? Then either then heap kernel okay, put it in this form with some function phi, then heap kernel satisfies star with one of the following functions. Well, there are two possibilities here. Either is exactly this function, or is this function, alpha plus beta. So that's the main message here. Well, which means what? That the function phi, original one for which this star is satisfied, is equivalent to one of these two functions up to constant multiples. So of course, one needs to put various constants here and here and make estimate of this one through one of these two functions by means of the constant.
But it means the condition star must be true only for t less than 1.
It depends on the space, right. Of course, on this compact situation, it is true only for small t's, but as I said, one can expand this, that it's true for all t's.
No, yeah. How there is such generality if you have compact metric space that...
For simplicity, I assume everywhere t is arbitrary, which excludes compact situation, of course, but one can certainly modify things to bounded interval of t, and then one gets the same, right? So.
Do you also have a general condition for this dichotomy? When does it happen? Which one of the two happens? Just looking at
There is a little more here to say, which will tell what else can happen. In addition, right? In the first case, that means in this case. Beta satisfies this, or beta and alpha satisfy this inequality. In particular, of course, in order just to write down this function, you really need to ensure that beta is larger than 1, which a priori is not given, right? But this case can occur only if beta actually is at least 2, right? And the process is diffusion. That means, say, in terms of Dirichlet form, it's a local Dirichlet form. In the second case, the only restriction is this one, right? And beta can be anything positive, just positive. Right. For example, one of the ways to distinguish it, if beta happens to be smaller than 2, then only this can occur, right? So sufficient condition to distinguish these two situations. But, or another way is to see whether the process is diffusion. All right.
So, is there any example when the second case happens and it's diffusion?
No, you I don't have. I wanted just to say in the second case it is not diffusion, but I just start thinking how do I prove it. I don't have a proof yet, but it's, perhaps it is the case.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, second case.
Yeah, well, I cannot imagine that diffusion is with this one, right? Yeah, so I hope. Just since I said at the beginning it's still work in progress, not every bit is yet tested and proved, that that's a good question. Well, perhaps it's a trivial thing to do, but it's not yet written. I cannot take full responsibility for this.
Okay.
So you said this situation is tailored to polynomial growth spaces.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
is it hidden in the conditions tab?
Well, it is hidden just in the very beginning. In fact, as I'm going to tell, that this condition which we start with, the start condition implies polynomial volume, power like volume growth of both, so it will be there. Right?
Mm-hmm. The condition star, does it also imply that D coincides with the intrinsic metric of the Dirichlet form?
No, not at all. Right. Say, for example, in a fractal situation, intrinsic metric has nothing to do with this one. So it's entirely different. No. So, yeah, I would like to emphasize here that metric and measure and Dirichlet forms are all introduced independently here, and the only relation between them is hidden in or encoded in this heat kernel estimate. Right? So, in general, distance is not infringing distance.
But, however, what for the sphere, let us consider sphere. As I understand, star condition will not be true.
So what?
If you consider diffusion on the usual sphere. Then even for small t star condition will not be true, because in this case, for some
focal points
you have stronger.
It's the point is the following. You catch this polynomial correction term only if you have precise constant little c, which is 1/4 or whatever, right? If you allow this constant to be different, then of course this term will be gone.
But this constant what depend on x and y? What?
No. This constant just arbitrary. For example, say I just erased here this classical Gaussian term, distance between x and y squared over 4t times something. On the sphere, there is some additional term here when x and y are conjugate points, right? Or in general, this might be whatever, 1 over t to n over 2 times, don't remember, this something like distance squared over 2 over t to some power. Something like that, as far as I remember. If you change this constant 4 here, adding 4 plus minus epsilon, then this term can be already absorbed into this constant, right? Basically, from my point of view, you have this. Not from point of view, just by definition of this sign, this is exponential minus distance squared over t with
means that if x distance greater is positive, that this first factor is irrelevant. It's only central when x and y has order, and distance between x and y has order t in some, to some degree.
Yeah, certainly. Right. But it does not matter. In any case, whatever is the range, it still allows estimate of this type. So this estimate is not that precise, sharp. This innocently looking constant C actually might be quite important because it's just power of the whole thing, right? So basically, such sharp estimates are not felt by this star. On the other hand, in the polynomials, in the case of estimate like that, constant does not play so much role anymore. These two constants, they merge together. All right. So, in the remaining time, I will try to outline some parts of the proof. Proof consists of various steps, each of them basically kind of trivial, but altogether it's quite lengthy. And you start writing it. So I will start with say lemma 1, which deals only with upper bound. Assume that there is only upper bound of heat kernel of this type. Phi. Here I don't write this constant C little anymore because it can be absorbed into function phi. We have only one-sided estimate, so we have only one function here. Then, either process is diffusion, which is the same as form is local, or phi admits lower bound of this type as one expects. So the message is as follows. In fact, in the case of diffusion, as one can see a posteriori, one will have the estimate with a function like that. So it's much smaller than that, right? And one says here that there is no intermediate situation. In fact, either phi is going to be exponentially decreasing, or it is at least power increase, at least power function, at least power. So the proof is as follows. So basically, it's relatively easy to prove that the form is local. What it means that local? It means that if we take two functions u and v, I will make it on a picture here. Say, take two sets, say a and b, in our space, and consider two functions u and v, which are supported in those sets. And assume these sets are disjoint, then locality would mean that energy of uv must be zero. If the supports are disjoint, then and functions, of course, from the domain of energy form, then it must imply that it is zero. Right, and that's what we are going to show, right? Not what I'm going to show. This is either this or this, so dichotomy. So what we're going to show, assume that second condition fails, then this is true, right? Assume that phi s. So what it means that this condition fails? It means that there is upper bound for some sequence of sk which go to infinity. Since sk are going to be big, I just can forget about this one and write it as follows. Sk minus alpha plus beta for some sequence sk that goes to infinity. Right? And prove that the form is local. That means in this picture, EU V is 0. That's for that one uses exactly this representation for energy form. In fact, E UV is going to be also limit ET of UV when T goes to zero. Basically, we are going just to estimate ET UV and show that it goes to zero when T goes to zero. Right? And just the fact that U is supported in one set and B is supported in the other set, suppose we take point X here, allows to restrict integration to two cases, that either X in A, Y in B, or vice versa. Right? Otherwise, the corresponding terms, this will be just zero. For example, if X, Y are both outside A, then UX minus UY is zero. If they are both outside B, then the second term is zero. And the only possibility for non-zero terms is one of these. And by symmetry of the heat kernel, one actually can switch X and Y. So basically, one can reduce everything to one case. Right, so it implies that for ET XY, one gets the following expression: minus 1 over T integral over A integral over B UX DY PT XY DMU X DMU Y. Minus comes from the fact that VX minus VY is minus VY, and 1/2 cancels because we have two symmetric cases, they add up. So basically, we need modulus, therefore, we just write like that. Well, one can assume you are UV positive or does not matter. Now we introduce distance between these two sets. We can assume that distance is positive, denoted by R. Distance between these two sets, and estimate the heat kernel between X and Y using this upper bound. Since distance is at least R between X and Y, we can replace this by R. Phi is decreasing function, and write as follows. So we get just L1 norm of U, L1 norm of V. We can take, although this function from L2, we can take them from L1, because L1 is dense in L2, so that's sufficient. And estimate of the heat kernel will be 1 over T, one more T here, so 1 plus alpha over beta, phi of R over T to 1 over beta. Know that R is fixed in this argument, while T can be anything, right? T is going to go to zero. And now we can choose, since we assume that U and V are in the domain, this limit exists, and we can compute this limit by taking subsequence of T. And we choose subsequence of T for that to match exactly SK, right? So choose TK so that R over TK to 1 over beta equals to SK. So, of course, SK goes to infinity, therefore TK goes to zero. So we get here all this constant. So I might multiply and divide by R alpha plus beta. R is fixed, therefore it's also constant. We'll get R to alpha plus beta divided by TK alpha plus beta over beta, and phi of R of TK to 1 over beta, right? And this is, let me put it here, exactly SK to alpha plus beta times phi just a second. Ah, that was wrong assumption, in fact. Okay, I'll write it, but then I will correct that. SK, right?
But you have to write down
here. Yeah, this epsilon ratio goes to zero, right? Infinity, right. This is, yeah, this is something which goes to zero, little o of 1. I'll put it this way. That was not just constant, but something which goes to zero, right? And that exactly means that this term goes to zero as k goes to infinity, right? That gives locality. In similar way, one proves analogous property for lower bound. Maybe I'll just state it without going into details. Lemma 2. Now, so as you saw in this argument, one actually does not use this assumption, stochastic completeness or chaining condition. They are used in other places. For lemma 2, now assume that his kernel satisfies the lower bound distance t to or beta, then phi must be just bounded by this function. So this shows that phi cannot be too big, right? Basically, by first lemma excludes the range between exponential and power function, and second lemma excludes the range above this function. So the proof is based on the same approach, but what one actually, one assumes the contrary, and then one assumes the contrary, assumes that phi s is bigger, again for sequence of sk, bigger than whatever is on the right hand side, and then using lower bound of heat kernel and lower bound of phi, one can actually estimate this et from below, right? In this case, one estimates this for the same function et uu from below, and basically it follows that this function, if this function is non-constant, which means that terms like that can be bigger than constant on some places of positive measure, right? This implies actually that this will go to infinity, right? This right-hand side goes to infinity when t goes to zero. That's also based on similar estimate. Right, I won't go into much detail here, just that what would mean that in the domain of Dirichlet form there are only constants, which contradicts to the fact that the domain must be dense in L2. So that's the approach here. Now how one proves this theory, right? So first of all, since we have this condition star, we are in position to start with lemma 2, right? We can estimate like that. And first of all, by lemma 2, we can conclude that phi is bounded by this. Now look at lemma 1. If we know that the process is non-local, then we get immediate lower bound, right, by this lemma. Therefore, matching upper and lower bound gives us the second case of the dichotomy. if xt is non-local, then immediately get that by lemma 2, by lemma 1, that phi is of the order one constant 1 plus s alpha plus beta. So that's the second case. Now all we need to do is assume that x is local. Right? Diffusion. So in this case, one needs to work more. That turns out to be hardest case. So there are some intermediate steps. First of all, the fact that there is a two-sided estimate of heat kernel plus this upper bound for phi alpha plus beta implies by certain argument that measure of every metric ball of radius r is of the order of r to alpha. Right. This I mentioned at the beginning that this is the case. And that's actually quite simple. Here one uses stochastic completeness. It's always true that integral of heat kernel is bounded by 1. If one restricts this to the ball, of course, this is true again. And having lower bound for heat kernel, one can get out of here upper bound for volume of ball if you choose properly T related to D, right? This gives upper bound for the volume of the ball. And it turns out exactly of this type. Then to get lower bound, one first estimates integral of heat kernel outside the ball, dx r complement. And here one does in the following manner. This is the ball in question, and we split the complement into sequence of annuli, where internal and external radii are in ratio, say, 2. And then having upper bound of heat kernel and having upper bound of volume for both, which implies, of course, upper bound for volumes of annuli, one gets certain upper bound here. It turns out it can be made arbitrarily small, provided R is bounded from below by C times T to 1 over B, right? The proper scaling between R and T implies that this the tail integral can be made arbitrarily small. But then is needed by itself, but then one gets by stochastic completeness that integral inside the same ball, xy, is bounded by 1 minus epsilon, right? Say, take it by 1 half with properly chosen constant C. And this, together with upper bound of heat kernel, implies lower bound of the ball. So, in any case, one gets out of all this. This condition, in fact, is used in order to get convergent series on the right-hand side. When summing up over annuli, one needs convergence. It's the actual consequence of this condition. Right. Anyway, what one gets out of that, these three estimates, first of all, for balls, a measure of balls, and also estimate of heat kernel in the ball outside the ball. Right. So out of that, this one, together with heat kernel, measure of ball, estimate allows to run certain iteration argument basically self-improvement argument this one actually implies that this is done with restriction R is at least this, but one can get for arbitrary R the following estimate. Dx R complement is bounded by constant times exponential minus r to beta over t to 1 over beta minus 1. So this is certainly non-trivial thing. It requires, well, perhaps the most involved single argument in this proof. Right? So I don't say this is simple, but one can do this. And in the course of this derivation, one actually shows that beta must be larger than 1, if this is true. So that this makes sense. Right, so I have to skip this argument, but nevertheless, after that, we are almost done, because having from the star condition, of course, implies that this kernel admits the following trivial estimate for all x, y. Right, just replacing phi by its supremum, one gets this. And turns out that these two estimates together, they imply already the upper bound of when we just multiply together these two terms times the same exponential, right? And this is already quite simple. One takes two points, x, y, and considers two balls. Well, they must be not intersecting, of radius r, which is half of the distance between x, y, and applies the semigroup property this way. I put P2T for simplicity is integral PTXY, XZ, PTYZ, d mu z, and then replace M by union of the complement of these two balls, which is certainly covers XR, YR, right? The whole space. And then over each complement, for example, over this one, this can be taken out using this supremum, and this integral is estimated by this term. Therefore, we get product, and same for the second one, right? So this well-known argument, and of course, knowing that this is always the case, one can aim specifically at estimate like that. Right. By that, one gets upper bound, and lower bound is actually much simpler. First, one gets from lower bound of Heath kernel estimate. Notice that if dxy is bounded by constant times t to 1 over beta, then for heat kernel, one gets, of course, the estimate without any additional term through the diagonal term. But then, just making chain between two points, like on here, and considering sequence of balls around them, and using, again, semigroup property for n integrals, after trivial estimates, one gets lower bound of the same type. So that's really very simple, but it uses heavily the chain condition. Right. Okay, so let me stop here. Thank you for attention.
Any questions to the speaker?
So the chain condition is used only at the last
step. Yeah, it's used only on the last step, but also, in fact, it is used in additional terms here to get, say, upper bound.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise it's not true.
But let us consider the following metric space. This is the system of the wires, one-dimensional wires, which form three-dimensional. It's a called last Avron last Exner metric graph.
I missed at the very beginning, you said, consider.
We have system of one-dimensional lights, which intersect at the point of three-dimensional lattice. We have three-dimensional. It's quite one-dimensional, but however, it's
three-dimensional.
In this case, you can define Laplace operator. Uh-huh. It's one-dimensional Laplace operator on each edge plus Kirchhoff condition, because we are talking about our conference dedicated to the exactly such object, and you will. Let us take Kirchhoff continuity condition in each vertex.
Yeah.
After this, you can define this diffusion.
Yeah.
And this diffusion has the following property. Of course, it's like Gaussian. Uh-huh. But however, this estimation for small t and for large t are completely different.
Yeah.
Because it's decayed as 1 or t to degree 3 half for large t and 1 or square root of t for small t.
In my terms, alpha is different for small t and for large t.
Yes, and what? Yeah. How you include this?
Different. Yeah, one can include this, but this this work exactly in progress, but what the estimate for which you are looking at will have the following type. This also frequently occurring situation. Parameter alpha is going to be abandoned. Instead of this parameter, one looks at just at volume of balls, right? And estimate should be of this type. Volume measure of ball of radius t to 1 over beta times the same thing, right? Of course, if volume is of r to alpha, then we get exactly t to alpha over beta.
Okay.
So in your case, this will be exactly one-dimensional for small and three-dimensional.
And second question, or maybe, yes. If you consider uniformly elliptic operator in multidimensional space, then corresponding Dirichlet form can be estimated from above and from below by the usual Dirichlet form for class operator. And we know that due to Aronson, we have global estimation from above and from below. Is it true something similar on the practice?
There is similar result, but turns out just comparison of the forms is not enough. Right. One needs additional conditions, and the stability result of this type is proved by Barlow and Bass, and they gave conditions under which, from which it follows. It is true. They gave condition under which are equivalent to Heath kernel estimates of this type of exponential, right, for diffusions. And the conditions are stable under such a change. So it is true, but it's highly non-trivial. Yeah.
Other questions? If none, then that's it. Thank you, speaker, again.